And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Last week, FEMA announced sweeping changes to its individual assistance program, which helps people recover after disasters. KYUK's Emily Schwing has been reporting on the impacts of a historic storm that hit Alaska back in 2022. She took a look at what FEMA's new policy could mean for the future of natural disasters in the state.
The timing of Typhoon Murbach in mid-September 2022 couldn't have been worse. The storm surge hammered Alaska's west coast after some of the state's most remote communities had already received their final barge deliveries for the season. So building materials like windows and roofing metal were hard to come by. In Chivac, Edgar Knight still hasn't been able to fix a hole the storm left in his roof.
Yeah, there's no more roofing up there.
Oh, I see that.
The tins came off, and my floor fell off.
Oh, it like collapsed in. Holy cow.
The whole house is very old, and my insides of my flooring fell off, too.
Knight lives with his wife and seven children. Their house was already in disrepair prior to Typhoon Murbach. But last year's storm forced them to seal off half the building. Now this family of nine is crammed into a space smaller than a standard two-car garage. And so you own this house?
Yes.
So did you apply for assistance from FEMA or the state?
It was only for my boat and motor that was lost, but I didn't include none of this.
Oh.
I had to wait for a city to give me the... They said it was my house, my land, my lot.
Knight couldn't complete an application to FEMA for repairs to his home because he's had a hard time finding the paperwork that proves his house and the property belong to him. And even if he could find the proof, under current FEMA policy, it's unclear exactly what could be repaired with individual disaster assistance funds. Up until now, FEMA's had a strict habitability definition that limited the agency's power to fix damage to homes that already had problems. But that's changing. FEMA's reworking its habitability definition for families like Edgar Knight's. His house was already damaged. Typhoon Murbach made it worse. In the past, FEMA's policies limited repairs paid for by the agency to damage caused by a storm. With the new change, individual assistance will be enough to make a house safe and sanitary after a disaster.
So that's huge.
Brian Fisher is the director of Alaska's Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. He says the state's been asking for these kinds of changes since 2013, when a catastrophic flood on the Yukon River inundated the city of Galena.
At the time, we were able to demonstrate, in survivors' homes, the kind of the silliness of FEMA offering to pay for half a sheet of plywood, which is not helpful when there was pre-existing damage. If we need to replace an entire sheet of plywood in somebody's home to make it habitable again, then that's what FEMA should be doing.
And the definition of habitability isn't all that will change. At the end of March, the most sweeping changes to FEMA's individual assistance program in 20 years will go into effect. John Pennington is the former director of FEMA's Region 10, which includes FEMA operations in Alaska.
I feel like many of these proposals are in ways a direct response to shortcomings in the policy discovered through Typhoon Murbach.
Pennington says the changes FEMA plans to implement this year are overdue.
This program has been, I don't want to call it stagnant, but it has not matched a lot of reality in communities that are impacted by disasters, I think especially remote and isolated communities. So what they're proposing here are significant changes that are unquestionably going to align policy with reality for disaster survivors.
According to FEMA, the changes increase flexibility for survivors, relieve financial burdens on individuals, and cut red tape. The agency's removing a cumbersome requirement that assistance applicants apply for a loan from the Small Business Administration. They'll also simplify the process for late applications and appeals if an application is denied. That's something Stella Lake experienced. Typhoon Murbach damaged the boat she uses for subsistence hunting and fishing in Chivac. so she applied to FEMA for help to fix it.
Was that an easy process for you to go through?
No.
Tell me more about that.
At first they denied it. They gave me a little bit, which wasn't enough to buy motor parts. And then I happened to be in Anchorage when I heard about a couple of lawyers that were helping Native people appeal their FEMA application, and they helped me out. And I was surprised with more money later.
FEMA's also reimagining the government website used to apply for disaster assistance. And while Alaska's Emergency Management Director Brian Fisher welcomes the new policies, he says changes to FEMA's website are unlikely to significantly benefit Alaskans in the future.
So it's good news that it's streamlined and they are making some significant improvements to the customer experience, if you will. But that doesn't help us when we don't have communications in a community after a storm. So FEMA is still committed to get on the ground with us as their partners at the state of Alaska in the communities to take paper and pen applications when necessary, like we did during Murbach.
FEMA's policy changes have come too late for Stella Lake, Edgar Knight, and hundreds of other people still recovering from the impacts of Typhoon Murbach. The changes aren't retroactive, but when they do go into effect on the 22nd of March, the agency is hopeful they'll make recovery faster and easier for disaster survivors in the future. In Anchorage, I'm Emily Schwing.
The first annual Elizabeth Paradovich Women's High School Basketball Invitational was held in Juneau this past weekend. KTOO's Clarice Larson stopped by to watch the championship games and learn more about how the Tlingit Civil Rights Trailblazer continues to inspire women today.
The stands at Thunder Mountain High School's gym were filled as the Skagway Panthers and Hoona Braves girls' varsity basketball teams faced off on the court Saturday afternoon. The teams were battling to see who would be crowned the first ever champions of the Elizabeth Paratrovich Invitational in Juneau. Ultimately, it was the Panthers who took home the win. Thunder Mountain girls varsity basketball coach and event organizer Andy Lee says the tournament is meant to showcase the deep pool of talented female athletes in Alaska and to honor Alaska Native culture in Juneau.
I've always thought Elizabeth Paratrovich, hearing the stories about her and her impact on the civil rights movement and the legislation that she's impacted and the people she's influenced that I know. And I thought, what a great role model.
Paratrovich's activism was a driving force behind the Alaska legislature's passage of the Anti-Discrimination Act of 1945. The bill was signed nearly two decades before the Federal Civil Rights Act. Lee says it was only right to choose one of the most influential women in Alaska's history as the tournament's namesake. He says it was important to him to choose someone for the girls who can inspire them. Kedri Hartman, a senior on the Thunder Mountain girls team, says she really enjoyed the tournament and having the teams come to play on her home court.
I really like helping build up the community, and Native culture is definitely a big part of Juneau, and so I like being able to support that.
The tournament's main sponsor was the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. Tlingit and Haida President Richard Peterson was in the stands to watch the championship game. He says the tournament is special because it lifts up young women in the sport and honors basketball's deep roots in Alaska Native culture.
I think it's just exciting to see young ladies given the stage, center stage. And to do it in honor of Elizabeth Paratrovich is just makes all the more sense and makes it something to be excited about.
Lee says he hopes the tournament will become a tradition for the young high school.
I want things to live on beyond the people that are here and the message, and I want it to resonate in the young women that play. I hope there's a 50th annual.
He says plans are already underway to expand the reach of next year's tournament. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
For more stories like this, you can check out ktoo.org.